Ramsey TV.
At the risk of redundancy, I'm going to keep going on this theme because there are so many other places in Scripture where this theme is addressed, and it is important that you be founded on this. And I am going to go back to Romans chapter, what is it, 6. I almost forgot I need to go back to Romans chapter 6. I didn't finish business there, but I will take care of business. Thank you, Bachman Turner Overdrive. In Romans chapter 6. Now, I left off yesterday, Romans chapter 5. Paul's talking about the flesh lusting after the Spirit. Let's start back where we were in verse 15. Is that verse 15? I'm not wearing my glasses. I got new glasses too. I'm still not wearing them. Now, I'm saying, walk in spirit. You should under no circumstances be consummating the lust of the flesh. Yeah, the flesh continues to lust even after we're believers. If you don't know what walking in spirit means, watch yesterday's show. If you can't find it, just go to YouTube in the search box, put Martin Zender, walking in spirit. Great revelation yesterday. For the flesh is lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now these are opposing one another, lest you should be doing whatever you may want. Everybody I've ever heard takes this verse one way. The flesh lusts against the spirit. Obviously, these are competing entities. And the reason the flesh lusts after the spirit, lest you should be doing whatever you want. Everybody thinks that this exclusively means that we don't want you to do whatever you want. Bad, naughty, naughty things. So the flesh lusts against the spirit. That is, the spirit is fighting the flesh to keep you from doing whatever terrible, despicable thing you want. But this works the other way too. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. What do I mean by it works the other way too? The flesh is opposing the spirit, lest you may be doing whatever you may want. What most of us want to do is to live purified, beautiful, perfect, sinless lives, which of course would bring us less trouble in this world. But to keep us from doing all the good we want to do, the flesh is continuously up against us. Paul had a splinter given him in the flesh to keep him humble. This was not an eye problem. This was not a physical infirmity whatsoever. It was not indigestion. It was not acid reflux. Paul's thorn in the flesh was, I believe, some kind of sin, some kind of thing that would keep him humble, that would keep him from doing everything he wanted to do in the spirit. Because that guy, above anybody, wanted to do the perfect thing always, because he was an apostle. He was the inaugurator of this walk. I mean, Christ was, but Paul was the first apostle to the nations. And he longed more than anything to live a circumspect life that was beyond reproach. What would have humbled him more than to have some kind of splinter in the flesh? And in Scripture, the flesh doesn't speak of the epidermis. For God's sake, it speaks of that part of humanity that lusts against the spirit, the part of humanity that wants its own way, i.e. the sinning part of your body. And you think an eye problem would have humbled Paul? Think again. What did the guy constantly boast about? His infirmities. I boast in my infirmities. When I'm weak, then I'm powerful. Not making fun of Paul here, but you remember I boasted in my 99 Ford Contour. I boasted in that because I love boasting in my weakness. And it was going on 300,000 miles, and I kept saying, I'm going to take it to 500,000 miles. Oh, isn't Martin Zender such a sacrificial soul? He's living, taking a vow of poverty. Oh my God, his words have more power now. What did God do? God gave me a new car through a fellow believer. Got me a new car, not a new one, but a 2012 Honda Accord, beautiful car. There goes my boast. Ah, crap, there goes my boast. But at least I have a dependable ride. Same with Paul. Oh, the guy wants to live a sinless life, believe me. God totally screwed that up. Because what was God's answer to Paul? Paul says, I besought the Lord 3 times that this thorn might be removed from me. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Grace? Ooh, I looked up every single use of the word grace in the New Testament, pursuing what Paul's thorn was, And I came to find out that grace was always the answer to sin. Always. Grace and sin. How would grace be the answer to an eye problem? How would grace be the answer? You have an eye problem. You go to the ophthalmist, the eye doctor. That's what you do for an eye problem. What's the answer to a broken leg? Grace? No, the answer to a broken leg is you go to the cast guy. Yeah, the orthopedic guy. Grace is the answer always to sin. So if grace was the answer to Paul's problem, Paul was given some kind of moral failing. Yes, I insist on it. I insist on it. To think that Paul, he had an eye problem. Even A.E. Knox said, Paul probably is speaking of his eye problem. You got to be kidding me. No. No, Paul would have boasted in his eye problem. Yes, I travel among the nations, even with this eye problem. He boasted in his weaknesses. This he was so desperate to get rid of, he besought the Lord three times. Talked to my friend Tony Nungesser about this. He had a great thought on this. I said, well, three must be the formula. You know, just ask God something three times. He said, no, Paul would have asked God to take it away 300 times, but the Lord stopped him after the third time. So it's not a formula. It's not a formula. Paul would have just kept saying, get rid of this, get rid of this. No, 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 no. And what, he humbled him because he had just gone to the third heaven and he saw things that were so magnificent he couldn't talk about them. And so he started to think that he was, lest I be lifted up beyond measure, is the phrase Paul used when he came back from the third heaven. Lest I be lifted up beyond measure. The only other time this word, this phrase, lifted up, is used is of the man of lawlessness going into the temple declaring that he is God. Paul saw something so high that you would come back thinking that you are God. I mean, Paul knew he couldn't be God, but it was that high. It was like the right hand of God, that's pretty high. So one would tend to get puffed up over that. Paul said that. So what is he given? An eye problem? Are you kidding me? I can't see very good. Oh, it's so terrible that I'm going to be humbled the rest of my life. No. But he had a sin issue. Okay, Paul did, of course. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the transcendence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Paul might have been tempted to think, after the third heaven experience, that the transcendence of the power was of him. Wrong answer. So, the spirit and the flesh oppose one another, lest you may be doing whatever good you want. So, it's a mix. You can't do whatever good you want, because the flesh is opposing the spirit, and you can't do all the bad things you want, because the spirit, thank God, is opposing the flesh. You want to do lots of bad things that you can't do. I know you people. You want to do lots of good things that you can't do. I know you people on that line as well. Because I'm the same. Now you should. Now if you are led by spirit, you are not still under law. Well, the nations were never under law. The circumcisionists, Paul's talking to the Galatians here. The circumcisionists had probably talked some of the Galatians into submitting themselves under the law. Now, we get to this troublesome section here. Now, apparent are the works of the flesh, which are, here they are. Here's the works of the flesh. If you want a nice little happy list here, here they are. Adultery, prostitution, uncleanness, wantonness, idolatry, enchantment, enmities, strife, jealousies, furies, factions, dissensions, sects, S-E-C-T-S, sects, envies, murders, that's a bad one, yeah, drunkenness, revelries, wild parties, and the like of these, which, here's the tricky part, I am predicting to you, according as I predicted also, that those committing such things shall not be enjoying the allotment of the kingdom of God. Now, before I elaborate on this, here at the end of the week, I thought yesterday was the end of the week. I kept saying, on Monday, now today, I must remind you of Romans 5:20, that where grace, where sin increases, grace super exceeds, super abounds. So, None of these sins are a match for grace. None of these sins, not even murders, not even revelries, will get you out of the body of Christ. All these things are lawful. They're not all expedient, especially not murder. Well, or adultery for that matter. Some of these things don't sound as bad as others, like strife. Now, Paul considers that a terrible sin, strife. Enmity, that is, you're upset at somebody else. Ooh, we got to all be careful here. But not really. We don't have to be careful. We have to rely on the Spirit of God. Now, when Paul says those committing these things, we're talking about career sinners. We're not talking about somebody who, oops, I got drunk last Thursday. Okay? Now, this is, you make a career out of drunkenness. Jealousies. Oh, I was jealous of that guy because he was talking to some other girl. All right, you know, it's a one-off. We're talking about career jealous people here. We're talking about career murderers, career enemies. Yeah, you only committed one murder. Oh, great. Yeah, no. You're not a murderer. You murdered somebody. Okay? We're not recommending it. I'm not recommending it to anybody. You're not out of the body of Christ. I'll show you what you are here. Revelries. A revelry is a wild party. So you went to a wild party, or you, God forbid, you hosted a wild party, and now we're finding out that you will not be enjoying the allotment of the kingdom of God. Most people think that you won't get into the kingdom of God. That is a lie. That is a lie. I'm going to explain that now in this show. But this isn't one wild party. These are career party people. These are just people who don't give a crap about anything but their own pleasure. And they go through life this way. They go through life this way. This is an amazing statement, really, that people like this are still in the body of Christ. That's amazing as it is, because any one of these things would get you kicked out of Israel's gospel, the gospel that is based on law. In fact, they stoned adulterers back in the day. So Paul says he's predicting, which is not too hard here, according as I predicted, that those committing, ongoing, doesn't say those who commit, those who have committed, those committing such things shall not be enjoying the allotment. That's the key word, allotment of the kingdom of God. Shall not be enjoying the allotment. An allotment is a special parcel. It's a special place. It is a sector of the universe that is yours. It is a position of ruling and reigning. It is above and beyond salvation. This is the prize that Paul was racing toward. In Philippians, he talks about running to win a prize. He can't be talking about salvation. He can't be talking about aeonian life, because that's not a prize. That is completely of the grace of God. This is too, this ruling and reigning position, but it's presented as something that you strive for. It's still of grace, but it's presented as something that's available to those who want to go the next level, go the extra mile. God knows that we like to strive for stuff. He's taken that completely away from us with the gospel of grace. Can't strive for anything anymore. Can't work for anything anymore, because aeonian life, that is basic salvation, if you can even call it basic, is a gift of God. It is not out of you. So we poor human beings, we're sitting here, oh no, now we can't do anything. We might as well just sit around and do nothing. But we have an interesting development, because God says, well, there's a high calling. What? What's this high calling you're talking about? There's a high calling? What is it? It's ruling and reigning with Christ. It's having an allotment. It's having your own portion in the celestial realm. Yeah, it's big stuff. Yeah. I mean, being in the body of Christ is amazing enough. It's phenomenal enough. But we're talking about something above and beyond salvation. I better quickly go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Faithful is the saying, for if we died together, we shall be living together also. Yeah, us in Christ. We died together, we shall be living together. And we found out that our old humanity was crucified with Christ, Romans 6:6, and that happened before we were born. So this thing is done. If God designated you beforehand, which he has, none of these sins in Galatians 5 can get you out of it. If we die together, we shall be living together also. If we are enduring, we shall be reigning. Ooh, enduring. That means you're putting up with hard things. That means that you're going out of your way to live circumspectly. You don't have to. You're also going out of your way to herald the gospel. This is still all of God. Only God can inspire this in you. In fact, Paul says in Philippians, if this disposition is in you for the high calling, good for you. If it's not, then let God give you peace about it. If you're not striving for the high calling, let God give you peace about it. I've heard many people say, I just want to mop floors in the celestial realm. I'll just be a toilet cleaner. Well, if that's all you want, then you'll get it. Great. I want more. I don't know why. I'm a competitor. I want everything I can get out of this thing. I want everything I can get. So if I found out that if I was habitually unclean, that's one of the sins here, uncleanness. If I habitually kept my place a mess, my body a mess, did dirty things all day long, thought about how I could screw people all day long, tried to figure out how I could steal things from stores or mess up people's lives, it's apparent that that's my passion. It's apparent that I don't even have a passion for ruling and reigning with Christ. It's like, I got a bank to rob. Sorry, don't talk to me about ruling and reigning with Christ. So you don't want it anyway, so you're not going to get it, but you're still in the body of Christ. You see, because if we're enduring, we shall be reigning together. If we are disowning, he will be disowning us. Ooh, disowning. He will be disowning us. Not for salvation, for the love of God. No, he can't disown us because we're part of his body. He'll be disowning us for the thing in the context, which is reigning together. If we are disbelieving, he is remaining faithful. That is, if we once believed in Christ, I mean, true belief in the death for sin, the entombment, and the resurrection of Christ, then he's remaining faithful. Why? Because he can't disown himself. You're part of his body. How can he disown himself? He can't. So you're in. Don't worry. You're in, no matter any of this crap that you do. But there's a thing called reigning together. Reigning together. Now we're getting back to Galatians 5. Reigning together is the allotment. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about something, again, above and beyond salvation. And if this is in you, Paul says in Philippians 3, then God will make that known to you. If it's not, whoever are not disposed to that, then God will make that known to you also. Yeah, Paul says, I am pursuing, this is Philippians 3, verse 11. I am pursuing, if I may be grasping also, for which I was grasped also by Christ Jesus. Brethren, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped, yet one thing, forgetting indeed those things which are behind, stretching out toward those in front, toward the goal, am I pursuing for the prize. The prize, this is not salvation. Salvation is not a prize. The prize of what? Of God's calling above. Other versions have the high calling in Christ Jesus. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. You might be disposed to this if you're mature. You might be disposed to wanting an allotment, a special place. You might be disposed to wanting to rule and reign with Christ. Yeah, if that's you, then great. Whoever are mature may be disposed to this. And if anything, you are differently disposed, that is, if you don't want it, God will be revealing that to you. God will be revealing that to you if you're just not cut out for striving for this prize that is, again, an allotment, a place. So the people committing these sins habitually, they will not be enjoying the allotment of the kingdom of God. Doesn't say they won't be in the kingdom of God, because they will. They'll be participants in it. They'll be beneficiaries of those who are ruling and reigning with Christ in that kingdom. Well, and I believe here in this context, we're talking about the celestial kingdom. So, I don't want anybody doing any of these sins, but because we're still in flesh and because our bodies haven't been changed, we're going to occasionally do some of these things, but we're not doing it as a career, so don't worry about it. Don't worry if you engage in a one-off thing here, you know, you had a wild party, you get drunk. Don't worry, you're not disqualifying yourself, not even from an allotment. We're talking about a continuation of these things. And yeah, it's God all the way. It's God who has not appointed you for a place of ruling and reigning. And so you might be doing these things. I don't want any of you to be doing any of these things. Okay? I don't. And again, the best cure for them, as A. Enoch wrote yesterday, as I shared that from the Concordant Commentary, and as I've been telling you and will continue to tell you for the next couple days next week, the only way to have any chance of curing any of the flesh is to ignore it and to concentrate on Christ. So I hope this is calming to you. You may have tripped over this passage in Galatians 5. There's so much more here I'm going to get into next week. Galatians chapter 2 is amazing. Romans chapter 8 confirms everything I've been telling you. And also, when we go back to Romans chapter 6, it's all going to come together for you, if it hasn't already.